Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When did God call you? How did you respond to his call? Our gospel reading shows us a number of different people all being called by God and receiving their reward. Now, this isn't strictly a parable about coming to faith, or at least not one with a perfect one-to-one correlation of the worker is the believer and the reward is heaven and blah, 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 blah. After all, I don't think we're actually going to be upset with God when we get to heaven as the first laborers are when they receive their reward, regardless of when we began to believe. And God isn't going to send us away after receiving our reward. However, this text and the parable it contains does still give us an opportunity to ponder on this question of when God called you and how you respond to him. Now, as we go through the parable, we see that some people come to God or heed his call early in the morning essentially at 6 a.m. These people go into the field, they put in a full day of work in serving the Lord, and thus they are compensated for a full day's labor. One denarius, a day's wages for labor. When they see that they don't receive special favor from the master at the end of the day after having worked all day, they are admittedly, perhaps understandably, upset. Did the master do them anything wrong by paying them exactly what he had contracted them to work for? No. He said, go into the field and work for one day, and I will give you one denarius. And that is exactly what they did. Did they have any real reason to think that they would receive more than they had been told that they would receive? Not really. The fact that the other laborers received a higher percentage than them essentially doesn't matter. They said they would work for a denarius. And yet, after seeing these other people work for 3, 6, 9, or even 11 hours less than they did, they are upset. I imagine that many of us can relate to these people. Many of us, after all, came to faith very early in life, even if you may have strayed and then recommitted later in life. For myself, I was brought into the faith at around, give or take, 6 weeks old when my dad baptized me. Might have been less than that, even. And I don't honestly remember any time at which I did not believe. Many of you probably can say the same thing, that you also were baptized as a child and that you have been in the church and in the faith ever since, that you do not remember any time before you were a believer, before you had Christ. And that is absolutely a good thing. What a blessing and a privilege it is for us to be able to confidently say that you always knew your God and loved him and served him. What an absolute blessing and privilege that is, to have never lived with any doubt regarding your salvation. However, have you ever looked back at your life and wondered if you couldn't have still received all those blessings without putting in quite the same amount of work? after all, living Christian isn't always easy. If I'd waited until after college to come to Jesus, perhaps I could have been out partying late on Friday and Saturday and not had to worry about getting up for 9 a.m. church services. If I hadn't been a Christian in high school, maybe I could have enjoyed more of that party scene. Although, in retrospect, it probably had more to do with the fact that I was a band geek than the fact that I was a pastor's kid, but that's beside the point. If I hadn't been raised in a Christian home, maybe I wouldn't feel so uncomfortable at using coarse language. If you've ever wondered what it would have been like to not grow up as a Christian, you can relate to these grumbling workers in the parable. But of course, not everyone comes to faith at such a tender age. The master recruited workers to go into his vineyard into the harvest every 3 hours in our reading. First at 6, then at 9 a.m., then at noon, then at 3. Some were hired early, some were hired later. These people spent more of the day sitting around the town square, twiddling their thumbs, waiting for someone to hire them, worried that maybe they would be left out. I imagine that at some point they might have even gotten tired of waiting. They might have considered just trudging home and telling their wife and kids, "Sorry, I couldn't find work. I guess we don't get to eat today." Perhaps those who stayed were thinking about their family back home, hoping that maybe something would happen so that maybe they would have a couple pennies to buy a little bread for their family. And so, when they were hired, I expect there was a lot of relief on their part because the day wasn't going to be a total waste. They would actually have something to buy food for their families. Now, a day's wages, a denarius, was only about enough to buy cheap barley if you actually had a family of any number of kids. It would be enough to buy something a little nicer for one person, but as soon as you have a wife or kids, suddenly you can't afford anything overly fancy. And so half a denarius, 3/4 of a denarius, 1/4 of a denarius. Maybe you're not eating, but at least the kids will get something. There are some in this congregation, some listening or watching, who perhaps, probably found themselves in that position or in that situation. Perhaps you grew up around the church, but you didn't really believe, or not until later on in life. You didn't have that faith, even though you saw that faith around. Perhaps you grew up outside of the church, and it was the words of a friend or a family member that brought you to question and want to know more about this Jesus character. Perhaps you struggled with the important questions of life for years before Jesus finally approached you and said, "You, come with me, come into my harvest field." If you were in that position, I can imagine a great deal of relief and rejoicing when the master finally called you into the harvest field and sent you to the labor. Yes, the work is hard. Yes, there is difficulty, but you have found the purpose that God gives to us. You have the safety and the security of knowing for whom you are working. It is for the Lord Jesus. But even this is not enough for this master. Even at the 11th hour, 5 in the evening, almost quitting time, the workers are probably starting to look at the time and wondering if they can't just take a break. Even then, the master still wasn't satisfied. He went out to the town square one last time and recruited even more workers then to come into his harvest field. Imagine being in that last group. The sun is setting, you're still sitting in the square waiting to find work. Your family would go hungry that night if you couldn't buy food for them. You might not even be able to look your wife in the eye after spending the whole day in the town center with absolutely nothing to show for it. And then this strange, unusual master comes and he sends you into the harvest field. You go into the harvest field also, and I will pay you what is fair. You shrug. At least you'll get something to bring home to your family. At least your children might go to sleep with something in their bellies. And so you go into the field, you work for an hour, and at the end of the day, to your surprise, this unusual master doesn't toss you a couple worthless coins, barely enough for a scrap of bread between all your starving children. Instead, he pays you for an entire day's work, even though you were only there for 1 hour. Now imagine being that person who has been away from God their entire life, who only comes to faith in him at the last minute, perhaps a deathbed confession. What joy there is in that. However, the joy is not because you did so little work for the reward. The joy is because of the reward you received regardless. You didn't know you would receive that reward, but you received it anyways. You could have been left entirely out. You didn't do anything to deserve it, but you got it anyways. The reward is the same, and it is so much more than any of us deserve. Whether you go into the field early or late, whether you believe as an infant or or on your deathbed. Ultimately, regardless of when you heard God's call and were sent into his field, regardless of whether you worked a long time or hardly at all, whether you took breaks along the way or worked all the way through, the reward you receive is the same. And that reward is far more than your labor earned or deserved. God does not hand you a coin and then just send you on your way. No, instead, he gives you himself and brings you into his house to celebrate at his harvest celebration with all your fellow workers. And he will never send you away. You will never worry about the heat of the day again. You will never be hungry again. He feeds you and he blesses you beyond anything you deserve, not because of your labor, but because of his generosity and goodness. So instead of grumbling and begrudging our Lord his generosity, we rejoice that so many are included in the harvest celebration, that so many join us at this feast, that so many receive the Lord's reward, which is so far greater than anything we could claim to have earned by ourselves. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting in his kingdom. Amen.